Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, May 18th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 38, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration through one paragraph ending, but isn't it true? And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Nancy C., 12 Traditions, Susan G. Readers of the text this morning is Felicia S., Eileen M., and Penny L.C. The reference number for Sunday, May 17th, is 23,465. That's 23465. And for this morning, Monday, May 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,468. That's 23468. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Ann S.C.H., and Shelley E. will be doing the announcements. Thank you to everyone who's providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps to those through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Nancy C. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. And I'll now ask Susan G. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. Tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Dawn, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 38, that second paragraph. You may think our illustration through one paragraph ending, but isn't it true? And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Felicia S. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning, Dawn. Felicia S. from New Jersey, recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Dawn, and to all of Team Monday. Okay. You may think our illustration is too ridiculous, but is it? We who have been through the ringer have to admit if we substituted alcoholism for jaywalking, the illustration would fit us exactly. However, intelligent we may have been in other respects, where alcohol has been involved, we have been strangely insane. It's strong language, but isn't it true? And if I take out the word alcoholism and add in the word food addiction or compulsive overeating or restricting, it's just as true. I identify completely with the jaywalker. The weird thing is, it never felt ridiculous to me when I read it. It felt comforting because my entire life I thought I was crazy. But all the things that I did with food, for food, with food, to my body, in the name of food, to somebody else, it seems insane. But to me, it just seemed normal. And no matter how many consequences, heart attack number one, heart attack number two, heart attack number three, it didn't matter. I couldn't stop. And I would swear off just like the jaywalker, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. And as soon as, you know, he could, he was back out in the street like a maniac. And as soon as I could, I was back into the food like a maniac. And I couldn't imagine. This weekend, I had the honor and privilege of going to my youngest son's graduation. And not once was it about the food. Not once was it about what I was going to eat or how I was going to get it or where I was going to store it or how I was going to, like, all the things that needed to happen. And, you know, it's so interesting. It talks about however intelligent we may have been, I can have a big girl job and be real smart in a lot of other areas of my life. But when it comes to food, when I am an untreated compulsive overeating, my IQ drops 200 points and I have no control. And food makes all the decisions. And this weekend, it didn't have to be that way, thank God. You know, and no matter how much I wanted to stop until I found a God of my understanding and began working these steps with a sponsor in earnest, I couldn't stay stopped. And it was as crazy as a jaywalker running into the street over and over again. I was running into the food over and over again. And no matter how much I loved the people in my life, food took precedence. And I couldn't understand it. And I'm incredibly grateful for my recovery. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Felicia S. Beautiful way to get us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Margo B. from New York.
Margot B.
Diana yes. M. from Washington.
Diana M. Washington?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Ian F. Kentucky.
Ian F. Kentucky.
Kentucky.
K from Iowa.
Was that K from Iowa?
Yes. KS from Iowa.
All right.
Deborah G. Arizona.
Deborah G., Arizona. Beautiful lineup. Okay,
Paul
let's
R.
go. Who is that? Paul R.?
Paul R., good morning, Don.
Okay, very good. From California?
I am.
All right, fantastic. I have Margot B. from New York, Diana M., Ian F., KS, Deborah G., and Paul R. Fantastic. Margo B., please get us started, followed by Diana M.
Margo B. here, New York, also overeater, good to claim my seat. Wow. So this just, for me, drives home the concept of what a real alcoholic is. It's a spiritual malady, especially the mind, physical allergy. When I read the big book, and it talks about in the big book, that it's a textbook, right? It's about me learning. I'm not reading it like a novel, right? So when I read it, I totally identified. So I felt like first thing is, oh, wow, I'm not crazy, right? But my whole mindset had to change because I was just dieting. I had done and binging diet, binge diet, binge, story. It never occurred to me that I was obsessed and fixated on food because that was my norm, you know? And then I come here and realize, no, it's not. When someone's talking to me and I'm looking at the food behind them or the food that's in their hand and all of a sudden I hear nothing and now I got to go find it. Eggs, boxes, multiple forks to make you think, you know, the whole bit. And it's just like, wow, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm like the real compulsive overeater. The other day, people are eating just a half a sandwich. Who does that? They have a pantry full of snacks, and they just take a little and close the door in the bag. Oh, my gosh, right? So for me, those are all the reminders, and that my only solution for me is God. May I find him now? And it is through the big work of the steps, the big book, to clean house, and just really come clean with myself and clear. Like, this is the stuff I need to do. So, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Margot B. from New York. Diana M. from Washington, it's your turn, followed by Ian F. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. Thank you. So commenting on that paragraph that was read, I thought that, what was it like for jaywalking too? That kind of feeling we have when we're going to just walk across the street and not pay attention to traffic or whatever. We just seem to be having to do what the script tells us to do instead of what we choose to do. And I have experienced that. The thing that saves me is when I sense that first feeling of compulsivity, I turn it over to God. I think, okay, Heavenly Father, here's this feeling, and if you don't step in and help me, I'm just going to be like in a feeding frenzy and I can't stop. And so I have got to have my recovery depend on Heavenly Father helping me in those moments when indeed I cannot on my own not do what compulsively compels me to do. And I'm so grateful for my higher power. I'm so grateful that he has provided a way that will save us from compulsive overeating. I'm so grateful for that. Now, once in a while, I will go ahead and eat more than I should and eat compulsively. But I don't flog myself. I mostly beat myself up mercilessly because I realize I'm just human beings. Sometimes I'm just not going to do things perfectly. But for the most part, these days, if I quickly turn my thoughts to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and ask for their power to be upon me, and so it is their power that I can avoid the feeding frenzy that can happen. It is because of their power upon me, because the scripture says, it's in the book of Philippians, with Jesus Christ, I can do all things. Because it's his power, not my own. And I'm so grateful for that. And thank you all for sharing. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Diana M. from Washington. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 38 today, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration through one paragraph ending, but isn't it true? And we ask that you keep your comments on this one paragraph today on the literature we are discussing. So ENF, please share with us, followed by KS.
Hey folks, my name is ENF. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm really grateful to be here this morning. I say that every morning. I'm especially grateful to be here this morning because I was in one of those little funks last night going to a work function and just sitting around and feeling like, why do I feel so lonely? Why do I not relate to any of these people? And getting on meetings like this and talking about this stuff it's exactly why. Like, there's this thing that normal people do, which baffles me that they're like, it's like they are surprised at the idea, sometimes baffled at the idea that someone can consistently be doing something that is harmful to them and to know that it's harmful to them and continue to do it. And that's the difference between an addict and a non-addict. It doesn't even really matter what your substance is. When I hear people talk about, you know, being trapped with any substance or behavior, knowing that it's harmful to them, seeing all of the things that it does to their body, their mind, their relationships, their life, and still being unable to stop it, that's the most relatable thing in the world to me. You know, and it's not like people are talking about this, but there is a reality. I mean, some, you know, the literature calls it the language of the heart, like getting on these meetings and hearing people talk about their experiences, in our case with food or restriction, going, okay, yeah, I'm not alone. Because for the first 18 years of my life, I thought that I was the only person who felt this way about food, who had wrappers hidden in my walls, who was waking up at 4 a.m. to run 4 miles. you know, like this is the stuff, knowing that it was hurting my body, right? Like, this is the stuff that makes me go, okay, I know I have a place here. I know that I have a home. I know that there are people like me. That's what these meetings are for. So if you're new and you're wondering, God, am I the only one? You are not. You're not. Stick around. And if you don't hear your exact story, keep sticking around, because you will. Whether it's one person share or bits and pieces, you have a home here. That's all I got. I love you guys.
Thank you so much, Ian F. from Kentucky. KS, it's your turn to share, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. So good to be here. Thanks, everybody, for your service. KS from Iowa. And I really love this paragraph because I was a person very self-sufficient. I wanted to figure things out on my own. I wanted to make my own rules. Like, that seems silly. It's just more efficient. And I give you all the reasons why. And then even after being harmed by, instead of the regular way of thinking, oh, yeah, that's not very good for me, I should stop, I still want to mess with it. And then even after evidence, when I'm convinced I can't stop by myself, I still can do it. So that's the cunning, powerful, baffling stuff that's in the brain of all of us with the jaywalker. And knowledge, it's hard for me. I was very much a believer in knowledge, and that to solve problems, you just needed more information and stronger will. And this is the first program that taught me, knowledge is no defense, and strong will is great maybe in getting the bathroom clean, but it's so good at handling stuff like this. And that, but it really was an invitation to a spiritual life and a connection. I do believe that if we're lucky enough to be tapped with some addiction, which I do believe in a way now that it is a blessing, because it really opened a door to a whole, I call it the yin and the yang. I used to be very yang, self-sufficient, and I didn't know the power of the yin, of letting it go, of asking for help, of surrendering stuff. It never came up in everything I did. And so I feel like in some ways, somebody opened that door and said, oh, I got to meet a bunch of friends that are like me. And then I have to quit feeling the self-hatred, the self-loathing, and just go, oh, yeah, we're all dealing with something that's kind of really powerful. And so I can keep learning and getting better and being more useful. And that's what I think it's, for me, that's what it's all about. So thanks very much. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, KS from Iowa. Deborah G., it's your turn to share. And before Deborah G. shares, just let me quickly let people know that we're talking about page 38 today, that second paragraph. You may think our illustration through one paragraph ending, but isn't it true? And we're commenting on that one paragraph today. So Deborah G., please share, followed by Paul R., and then I'll be taking a list of more names. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning again, Dawn, and thank you so much for your service and everyone that makes this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us this morning. And also, thank you all who have shared in 12-Step Meet today. I am just so grateful to be on this meeting, to be 12-Step, to hear the message, to hear the reality of my insanity, especially the story with the jaywalking. You know, I would get into an alcoholic food and often rolling, and then think, oh God, I don't want to do this again. Oh, this is awful, or I don't feel very good about it, or feel very good about when I did it, put it in my body. And then I'd say, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'd get into those distorted promises and trying to control, you know, continually trying to control over and over and over. And I heard that doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, was the definition of insanity. And just like the jaywalker, you know, I'm in that same kind of thinking mode as that, you know, which is so delusional. and lived like that for so many years. In fact, I didn't even know about One Alcoholic Foods till I came to Visions. I had an assessment, and it was the Big Daddy one. It's the biggest alcoholic food. And that may have contributed also to it, going back to another alcoholic food over and over and over. And it wasn't until I stopped and said, I have no power, and got honest with myself, I have no power. I can't do this. And sought help, you know, taking the steps to get help. And I watched that Hallmark movie, Love Is Not Enough, the Bill Wilson, Lois Wilson story, and it was amazing. It was just, it was wonderful to watch that and see myself in action and see the recovery and the hope. And it was a beautiful story if you ever get a chance to see it. And thank you all again for 12-stepping me. And I'm so glad I can be of service and serve. Carry the message and serve and serve and serve. Help, help, help. Want to help everybody. And have a beautiful, blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Paul R., it's your turn to share.
Good morning, everyone. This is Paul R., recovered compulsive overeater, restrictor, and many other things. You know, like my disease always trying to find the gray area. What else? What else we can act out? And that's just the insanity part that has to be really treated. And I didn't know for a really long period of time, well, technically all my life, that what is wrong with me? I haven't seen anyone to eating the way how I was eating, and I see everyone around me that eating normally, eating sanely, what I thought it was sane. In my last run on sugar, I really find out that, you know, what it means really to be a real compulsive overeater. I was not able to put down the food, put down the sugar, through my own power, through being afraid, through just being scared that I'm going to lose another, we're going to pick up another X amount of pounds, and oh my God, like I have to get a new clothes and new sizes, and like I'm not fitting on that clothes, and I was just going up from medium to large to XL, and I just couldn't stop, and I see and I feel. And I acted the way how I didn't want it to act. The definition of insanity is not really to overeat after I start, but that after this pain, that incomprehensible demoralization, the hopelessness, the futility, the consequences, and the promises that I still believe after all these weeks and months, that I can safely take that first bite another day when I wake up. And that's just not true. And I don't care how you're doing. I don't care anyone how they're doing. It's all about the food. I want to work less. And my purpose in life is nothing else other than to have more food. Such a small life. And just for the grace of God, that I am returned to sanity today, that I am acting sanely, thinking sanely, and behaving sanely around food. And as a result of that, that's just a step one. I learned to act, feel, and behave sanely in anywhere else in the life. What God would you have me be here and there? When I'm open and available and ready,
time
that he can guide me through this journey everywhere I go and step out from home. Thanks for me to share with us.
Thank you so much, Paul R. from California. And we're talking about page 38, that second paragraph. You may think our illustration through one paragraph ending, but isn't it true? And we would love to hear what you would have to say about this paragraph in your recovery. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Victoria S., California.
Victoria S., California. Who else would like to share? Press star 1. Now's your chance. We'd love to hear what this paragraph means to you in your recovery.
Okay. It's Basa E. from New Jersey.
Was that Basa E. from New Jersey?
Basa E., yes.
Basa E., perfect. Basa E., New Jersey. Who else would like to share?
Jason W., San Diego, California.
Jason W.
Which paragraph, please?
We are talking about page 38, the second paragraph. On page 38 in the big book, you may think our illustration through one paragraph ending, but isn't it true? We're commenting on this one paragraph today. All right. Very good, very good. Okay, we'll go with Victoria S., followed by Basa E., and then Jason W. All right, Victoria, please share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Victoria S., calling from California, compulsive overeater. Grateful for the big book study. I mean, just the bedrock for me. Having tried any other option, please. I really identify with the jaywalker and definitely with a lot of people who shared about the physical consequences, just ad infinitum, all the physical consequences and everything, fortifying self basically, and the emotional consequences, you know, just like every foray into sparked shame, more self-hate, the notion that all I have to do is manage well and then I'll wrest some satisfaction with my eating, and which means more and more self and more effort, which is literally the opposite of the solution, literally going the wrong way. Just having that, like, old idea, if you will, about, and not even understanding the problem, like, what, you know, being rendered bewildered after another attempt. And, you know, it's like that life was the only life I knew. And I had no idea until I met the solution and I met myself in the pages of the big book, so that I could become willing, even slightly, the slight crack, to do it a different way, to do it your way, to move from self-centeredness, really self, into a God-centeredness. And that's what takes the practice, because I don't have that, and that's why I need to practice. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Victoria S. from California. Basa E., it's your turn, followed by Jason W. Star 1, Basa. Oh, okay, perhaps she had to step away.
Yeah, hi. No, sorry. I didn't realize okay. I was on mute. Okay.
No worries.
Thank you so much. So, I've been in program for quite many years, almost 16 years, mostly abstinent, and I'm coming off of a recent relapse, and, you know, just keep thinking that I can do it this time, and thinking the food will do something for me. And of course it doesn't. So when I am a little more distant spiritually, that's when I feel like the food will do for me what I want it to do. And that's the insanity of it. So just remembering that doing the same thing over and over again, if it works for me, that's what I should do. That's a good insanity, I guess. I mean, it's a good sanity. That's the sanity. And someone in program said to me, well, why'd you switch your food plan if you knew that 3 years ago you relapsed doing the same thing? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I didn't think it would happen this time. I wasn't planning to. So just remembering to be vigilant and to do over and over again what's worked for me, not just the neutrality with the food, but the serenity in my life and the connection to my higher power. And that's, you know, the most beautiful life. So to keep doing that over and over again and do what I need to do with the food, my weight and measured food plan, following the advice of the dietitian. And that's what will work for me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Bossy E. from New Jersey. Jason W., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Can you hear my dog barking? Hey, my name is Jason. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery here. I'm so grateful for, not just for OA, but for Vision for You. I'm grateful for the Big Book as being our road to recovery. I look at this paragraph and I'm just, what's really striking me is however intelligent, I'll put it in first person, I may have been in other respects where alcohol or overeating has been involved, I have been strangely insane, strangely insane. And you know, what fools me, and I'm really grateful I've been in OA and Vision just since February of this year, I'll tell you, I've noticed this in other fellowships as well, is that when I need to remember, and I can't force myself to remember, I need to remember that I am an overeater and alcoholic and other things, because otherwise I will start looking at my life as it's being lived by me day to day, a lot of the day to day stuff, and the reality of the illness will not be apparent. It's like during the day, you can't really see the stars. It's like when I'm out in day-to-day life, it's very challenging to remember that no matter how intelligent I am here in these respects, when it comes to this, I'm very strangely insane. And to me, the power of the insanity, I mean, this is why we spend time on this chapter, the power of the insanity of the pull, the lunar pull, if you will, back to where I don't want to be, where I know it will be harmful for me, but I can't resist it, is amazing. So I have been oddly, strangely insane when it comes to overeating and other things. So I'm grateful just to be reminded of that and to not be fooled about how I appear in my day-to-day life, because I have no defense. I have no defense against any of these things. So good to be with you all this morning. I hope that was helpful. In any case, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jason W. from California. Well, we're talking about page 38, the second paragraph. You may think our illustration through one paragraph ending, but isn't it true? And if you haven't shared in the last couple days, if you want to press star 1 and give me your name and initial and where you're calling from, I would love to take your name.
Polly Q.
Polly Q.
Jeff. Jeff A.
Jeff A. Okay, we'll go with Polly Q.
Bruce E.
Oh, and Bruce E. Okay, Bruce. All right, I have Polly Q, Jeff A., Bruce E. Go ahead, Polly Q. Your 3 minutes starts now, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, thank you for your service, moderator. This is Polly Q in California. So you know, I came into AA because I was working another 12-step program, and I was in the middle of the 4-step, and I had been in that program for about 4 years, and it had done amazing things for me, but didn't do anything about the weight. And so, and I was, you know, I was working the steps. I couldn't diet anymore. I was huge. I weighed a lot. And then I came into OA and I thought, okay, I'm just going to work these steps and all will be well. And I did begin to work them, but, and I'm, you know, I'm moving on, but I lost some weight. I felt some spiritual recovery. And then as well, in terms of my addiction. And then, something happened in life, and, well, I just went back to the food. Because the food is every day. There is no addiction I have ever seen like the addiction to food. You have to face it every day. But not only that, I can't, if I try to face it with a food plan, forget it. Forget it. And so, of course, relapse was inevitable because I had to work. I have to work these steps every day. I have to actually do a step 10. I have to work with others. I have to have that food plan. I have to do those things because I have to face this demon every day. And this is a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual malady. And there's no way around it. There's no way around being abstinent and staying abstinent without working this program every day as if my life depended on it. And that was so hard to remember. And it's so easy to forget. And I know when I've forgotten, because I will forget. I start to try to take over, and then pretty soon I think, oh, you know, I don't have to do that step today. I don't have to do the 10th step. And I don't have to grow my spiritual program. Nope, not my experience at all with food. So I'm going on 9 years abstinent because of this meeting and because we stay in this reading. And this reading is all about living, not working one time, living in these steps.
Time.
And the last three are the hardest, but they're the most necessary. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Polly Q from California. Jeff A., it's your turn, followed by Bruce E.
Jeff A. in California. You know, for me, it's about the stormy emotions. Currently, with God's grace and the program and a lot of, I call 3 people a day and so forth, I currently have food neutrality. The problem that I have is, I have food neutrality. I don't need to go to this meeting quite as much. And every day I come to this meeting, one of these 3 meetings a day, religiously, if you want to call it that way, because my addict brain tells me I don't need this. And so every time I come to these meetings, I get something. And part of it is to remind myself that as an addict, I can't just automatically think, oh, I got this figured out. I don't need this. What I am also every day, I do the 11th step at the end of the day, and then I'm trying to do the 10th step throughout the day. That's kind of hard, but I'm trying. My higher power wants me to get this stuff, to do it every day. I'm trying to do that, but those last 2 days I've been kind of irritable and discontent, and I haven't quite figured out why. But I've got to figure that out. Anyways. All right, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. from California. Bruce E., it's your turn to share.
Yeah, good morning. This is Bruce E. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Southwest Florida. And I have a disease that tells me I don't have a disease. So I have to remember that I do have a disease, that I am sick. I'm not a bad person trying to get better. I'm a sick person trying to get well. And then I have to beat myself up over this whole thing. So I don't think this illustration is too ridiculous. In fact, I don't think this illustration is ridiculous at all. When I first read this illustration of the jaywalker, I thought it was kind of weird. But as I started studying the big book, and as I saw it as a textbook rather than as a novel, I started seeing that this thing does apply to me. You know, the thrill of jumping away from in front of he starts out just a few cars, a taxi or two, a taxi cab or two, and then, you know, a few trucks and buses, and then finally, you know, trolley car finally gets run over, and it's really, really loses everything. That's the direction I was going. I was going in the direction of losing everything. But the thrill, I may have been born a little short on dopamine in my brain. And I've used food to try to make myself or, you know, inspire it. But, you know, I don't need food to do that. I can do that through trying to help other people and being solidly abstinent. So if I substitute food addiction and jaywalking, this whole thing makes sense. However intelligent he may have been in other respects where food addiction has been involved, we have been strangely insane. Yeah. Well, there's an insanity in trying to make myself feel better consistently with food and large amounts of food. That's an insanity. So that's why I'm in this program. And that's why I worked step two, because God, I ask you to restore me to sanity. Thank you. I pass.
Time?
Yep, I pass.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Perfect timing there. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. If you happen to be new, please stick around so we'll give you a chance to announce your name and number. But we're now going to read page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.